with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick to the Atlanta Falcons and national champion with the Colorado Buffs. Gentlemen, we begin our number two with our Super Bowl thoughts. We obviously have been discussing this game throughout this week and throughout this show, but do you guys anticipate having a bet on the side or total in this game?
Yes.
I know, Pritch, you said you're locked and loaded.
You are?
No, I'm not locked and loaded. No.
Not yet, but you're...
I will have a side, though.
Really?
Yeah, I'm waiting for injuries. I'm leaning towards Kansas City right now.
I was going to say, before you said that,
yeah,
it has to be Kansas City if you're looking at a side.
Right, I am. Because, you know, when you look at some of the injuries, I think that's, you know, a concern that I have right now in terms of, you know, making a bet. I mean, I don't know if this line is going to move. I mean, it moved already, right? I think the market's kind of settled in now.
If people ask in all these interviews, predict what the closing line is going to be, I'm still on one.
Okay.
I still think it closes one.
Okay.
Maybe 1.5. I thought early it might get to a pick, but it's gone back up to 2. But I think we're getting some San Francisco money early.
Okay.
And we'll get more Kansas City money next week.
Because I was going to ask you, like, say, you know, all these games, all these you know, bettors, known bettors are coming. Mm-hmm. People that move the line, they're coming into town, right? And so once they start to put their action around town, I mean, it's like, I wanted to know if that line is going to move or not, because are they signed? They're already signed up, or are they going through proxies and all that? I mean, they're pretty much
betting early, but remember the limits are lower now than what they're going to be next week,
right?
Or what you can get down,
right?
And I mean, the opening number, you're getting a half point here and there, but you're going to take the majority of the big bets from Friday and Saturday and Sunday morning next week.
Okay.
Why is it that the limits are lower for the Super Bowl when, like, we've known the matchup and it's like, there's not a whole lot of news that's going to come out that's going to surprise outside of...
But you don't know in 10 days what the injury, to his point.
Right.
Who knows who's going to get hurt in practice? Do you know guys heal in 2 weeks? Yeah. You know, get time to heal, and are they going to, if they go, what percent are they going to be? There's just too much unknown, even though we know these two teams, there's too much distance.
So, for instance, they're staying out at like Las Vegas, right? Yeah. This is known information. Kansas City's practicing at the Raiders facility. That's a shorter drive than going all the way to Gorman. From Lake Las Vegas.
Ooh, that's like a long track.
Right. But it's police escort. Yeah. So, you know, you got to understand police escort. They'll get there when they get there, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if Gorman has grass fields. We know the Raiders facility, they have grass fields and they have indoor. But I don't know if Gorman has grass fields or not. And the 49ers are going to be practicing at Gorman. And so from a surface standpoint, you know, getting ready for grass fields over here at Allegiant, you know, I'm going to think about that a little bit, but I think for that to get approved, I'm sure Gorman has some type of grass situation.
Yeah. Or something that they have to have something that's like NFL standards.
Yeah.
That's up to their standards. So yeah, the Niners have a little bit of a travel, but they are the official road team in the game, since the NFC is the away team. The AFC is the home team. It's a synthetic field turf is what it is at Bishop Gorman. So
how about their baseball field?
They don't have grass fields at all?
How about baseball? They have a grass baseball field.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
going to go tear up the outfield. for a whole week.
I mean, you would like to have practice on grass, I would think, if you're the 49ers, right?
Yeah. I guess they're getting their grass practices in this week at home. But both teams will go ahead and travel on Sunday, and they'll be here in Las Vegas, and then we'll take off for Super Bowl week. But I do want to talk to you guys, though, about Super Bowl MVP. Because we have some of the insights from our friends at DraftKings about what people have been betting. There's still a long way to go until next Sunday when the game actually kicks off. But the favorite is Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes at +120. 20% of the handle is on Mahomes, 12% of the bets. Travis Kelce has the second most in terms of handle at 12-1, 14%. McCaffrey plus 475. He's at 12% of the handle. Then Isaiah Pacheco at 30-1 at 9%. Then Brock Purdy at 5% of the handle at plus 225, despite being the quarterback of the favorite team. I think that's kind of interesting that Purdy's only 5% of the handle. But Mike, you're looking at those numbers a little bit funny. Because what jumps out to you?
How does Kelce win?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Mahomes is throwing him the ball. You could get a 49er receiver win because Purdy doesn't have the clout. You know what I'm saying? To the voters' mind? I just don't think I'd draw a line through Kelce. I'd draw a line through any other offensive player on the Chiefs.
Well, the only thing about Kelce, though, is he a tight end or a receiver, right? And I think a lot of people both will say he's a receiver more because he's not really that end of line tight end in the trenches, true tight end. I know it says his title says tight end, right?
Split him out.
Right, right. So wide receiver has won Super Bowl MVP. I mean, Edelman, certainly off the top of the head.
Cooper Kupp, a couple years ago.
Cooper Kupp. Was it Cooper?
Yeah,
he was. Cooper.
Should have been Aaron Donald, but Cooper Kupp.
Because I think people change a vote in that elevator or something like that, right?
Something going on. Hanging chat situation, I don't know.
But no, Kelce, if you treat him as a wide receiver, I think he gets there that way.
You do. So you think you'd take a shot at him at 12-1?
I would take a shot at him at 12-1, yeah.
Really?
I would. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer in a Super Bowl with the best quarterback in the world right now. I mean, I'd take a shot at that.
I agree with you, Pritch. Yeah. I think Kelce's live.
I'll book your 12. Femi wouldn't bet. He let the clock run out last week on 21 and a half.
I already bet 20-1 on Kelce this week, so I don't need the 12.
I'll give you 8-1. How about 8-1? If I'd have given you 6-1 at 21 and a half, would you have taken it last week? I'm so upset.
Well, here's the case for Travis Kelce, because Mahomes is trying to do something that no quarterback has ever done, and that's win 3 Super Bowl MVPs in your first 3 Super Bowl victories. Like, no quarterback, because Montana, he didn't win it until the 4th Super Bowl. Then he won the 3rd Super Bowl MVP. Brady didn't win it until he won his 4th Super Bowl. That's when he won the 3rd one. It's hard to be 3 straight years with it being your first 3 to win that award. Like, there's not as ton of voter fatigue as there is typically with the season-long awards. But I do think you get a little bit of it when you've won those Super Bowls so close together. And Mahomes has been the guy for them in the 2 Super Bowls. Well, you can make an argument that Damian Williams probably should have won the first one, but they gave it to Mahomes because he was the quarterback, and then he won last year. I think that with Travis Kelce being as culturally relevant as he is, dating the biggest megastar, I think it's a thing to where if they have the game that they had this past Sunday and he has 11 catches and a touchdown, I think Kelce would have won Super Bowl MVP with that stat line that he had a week ago.
The game of his life, I thought, on Sunday. He was unbelievable.
He's always good in the playoffs. Look at all of his playoff numbers. Yeah. He's like the most prolific pass catcher in playoff history.
I think 12-1 is too short. That's personally my opinion.
Okay.
20-1 is a different number.
21 is a different
number. I don't hate it.
Yeah. It's. I think there's a path, because I know like a lot of people think that it's just 1-1. Chiefs win, it has to be Mahomes. The fact that he's already won 2, I think would be a little bit of a hang up for me to think that. Like last year, I agreed, Chiefs win, it's Mahomes. This year, the way that Mahomes, his production hasn't been as gaudy as it's been in the past. I mean, last week he had 30 completions. He only had 200-something passing yards. Like, it's not the wow numbers that we're used to from Patrick Mahomes, to where maybe somebody else can sneak in and win it. Pacheco, I think, is live as well at 30-1.
Would you ever look at a defensive player? Would you ever look at a Chiefs defensive player in this market?
I mean, Aaron Donald was going to win MVP.
Should have won it.
He probably should have. Well, he wrecks an offense. I mean, Chris Jones wrecks an offense. But is he going to be healthy, right? You know, here's the interesting thing about Kelce, though. Like, for instance, just tracking it in the playoffs, the Chiefs have 13 red zone opportunities. They converted touchdowns in 6 of them. You know, you look at 49ers limited with their red zone opportunities, but highly efficient though in the red zone, right? 5 of 6. But if you got 13, you produce 13 red zone opportunities against Miami, who wants Fangio, they designed their defense to stop you in the red zone. And then, you know, Buffalo and then the Ravens, Kelce is going to be a big part of that. You know, if they can matriculate like they've been doing and get into the red zone, he is a big part of what the Kansas City Chiefs need to do to be successful in order to win this game. So I think he's live from that standpoint.
No, I agree. And also to further that point there about the winning a third MVP in the third Super Bowl, because it has never been done. Brady and Montana didn't do it. Those are the only guys who have three plus Super Bowl MVPs. Listen to this stat line of Joe Montana in Super Bowl 23, the Super Bowl we were talking about with our buddy Solomon Wilcots in hour number one. Montana was 23 of 36 for 357 yards and two touchdowns, and he didn't win Super Bowl MVP. Like, that to me, it just goes to show you how high the bar is. Now, they gave it to Jerry Rice because he caught a majority of those passes. He had 200 receiving yards in that game and a touchdown. But I think that you just have to clear such a high bar to win that third one. I'll tell you Tom Brady's stats. Super Bowl 39, he'd already won two Super Bowl MVPs heading into that game. 23 of 33, 236, two touchdowns, no interception. They gave it to Deion Branch, who didn't even catch a touchdown.
Right.
He didn't even catch a touchdown in that game.
They gave it to Deion Branch. 33 yards, yeah.
Because they just, like, the writers, I'll say this, are a little bit lazy. They want new stuff to write about. Mahomes winning another Super Bowl MVP is not new. Travis Kelce being the person who's dating the biggest mega star right now in the world, that's a new story to write about that everyone's been talking about. It's been one of the biggest stories in the NFL this season. I think at 12-1, even at 12-1, I think Kelsey's an interesting look there for Super Bowl MVP if he has the game that he's been having the past couple of weeks.
Good luck to you on your ticket.
After all of that, I didn't convince Mike Paul.
What about a DB? Would you look at a DB for the Chiefs?
Is Larry Brown the last DB to win it?
Larry Brown. Super Bowl 30.
Courtesy of Neil O'Donnell.
Two picks. You could get two right picks in a game.
He didn't even work
scoring.
To get those picks.
Neil O'Donnell should have won Super Bowl.
He just stood there. Yeah.
Dre Greenlaw, he got two picks against the Packers. Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't run Bam Morris more. Bam Morris was running the ball well in that game.
Yeah.
Who is the most interceptions on the Chiefs this year?
Ooh.
I would have to look it up. I don't know it offhand.
Yeah, was it Legarius Sneed or somebody?
Who knows? Brock gets discombobulated like he did on Christmas.
Not only that, but if I'm looking defense, maybe San Francisco on that side. Like Greenlaw, certainly.
Yeah, Drake Greenlaw had two picks.
Sure.
Well, we'll break this down more in depth on the other side, as well also bringing our buddy Chad Brown, who joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, where you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you will get your four free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and four free rich, juicy boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Mike Pritchard, Mike Palm, Femi Abebefe hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino on a football Friday. And joining us now as we continue our breakdown of Super Bowl 58 between the Niners and Chiefs, it's the one and only Chad Brown, former NFL All-Pro, now NFL analyst over at ESPN Radio. Chad's been joining us all throughout the season, and we appreciate it here this afternoon. Chad, thanks for the time as always. And we were talking about it in the last segment, wondering, if the Chiefs win, can anybody outside of Patrick Mahomes win Super Bowl MVP? Pritch and I think so. Mike Palm, he doesn't think so. What do you think? Can anybody unseat Mahomes if the Chiefs go ahead and get this victory?
I think if Travis Kelce puts together a 13-14 catch game, he certainly would be in the running as well. But yeah, I think if you're going to be looking to lay some money, Patrick Mahomes has to be the overwhelming favorite if the Chiefs find a way to get the W.
How about a defensive player, Chad? I mean, you were on the field when Larry Brown had that game for the ages in Tempe. Can we try to find somebody that can get two interceptions or four sacks?
Why are you bringing up all this stuff? I mean, come on. I suppose somebody like Nick Bosa could do that. He's got the ability to make some game-changing plays. So the defensive player is certainly a possibility. And we've seen it in the past with a Seahawks linebacker getting the MVP. But with the offensive players, with the offensive firepower in this game, with the Travis Kelce, with the Patrick Mahomes, with a Brandon Ayuk, with a Christian McCaffrey, it seems more than likely it's going to be an offensive guy who's going to be named the MVP when this thing is done.
Well, Chad, I mean, as a defender, though, I mean, it's like we often talk about offense when we're looking at these games and Super Bowl in particular and betting these games. But here you are as a defender and you're going to prepare for this game. You got 2 weeks in terms of preparation. Is there enough time for wrinkles to kind of make an impact on this game from a defensive standpoint? Or as bettors and as fans, should we think of this game as being a shootout?
Wow, that's a good one, Pritch. That's a good question. I think Steve Spagnuolo has done a tremendous job for this Chiefs team all throughout the playoff run. And then on the other side of the ball for San Francisco, they have really underperformed defensively. So they've got to find a way to step their game up. So I tend to think more shootout just because of the great head coaches and their offensive prowess. But in the end, man, I suppose I could see the Chiefs stepping up in a bigger way than I could actually see the 49ers defense stepping up.
We're hanging out with Chad Brown here, a three-time Pro Bowler, former All-Pro, an NFL player, now analyst for ESPN Radio. I want to stay on that topic, though, Chad, because you mentioned how the Niners' defense is sort of underperformed. You look at that front seven. I mean, it's loaded with a bunch of talented players, Nick Bosa, Hargrave, Armstead, the linebackers, whether it's Warner or Greenlaw. Why do you think they're having so much trouble stopping the run? Like, what do you think is the root cause behind that?
I think from a philosophical standpoint, I did a coaching internship out there in San Francisco, and Chris Kasarik, the defensive line coach, he is all about penetration. He is all about getting into the backfield. He's all about rushing the quarterback. So I think for those defensive linemen, their mindset is not necessarily to go out there and be stout run stuffers. They want to get penetration. And once you start getting penetration as a defensive line, offensive coaches are smart. They'll run traps. They'll do things to take advantage of that aggressive mindset. So I'm not saying the time for that defensive style, particularly from a defensive line standpoint, is done within the NFL, but I think teams are beginning to catch up to that style. The wide nine techniques from the ends allows off-tackle runs to happen. The defensive interior linemen, when they get penetration into the backfield, that sets them up for traps and counters and things like that. So I think it's not necessarily a group that's underperforming, but I think it's a philosophy that lends itself to certain offensive strategies that have found success here in the postseason.
Yeah, 2 weeks off between the championship games and the Super Bowl. Which team benefits more from a health perspective?
Wow. That is a great question. I think Christian McCaffrey, he seemed at the end of that game to hurt his neck. And that was a little bit concerning. I think watching him trying to get stretched out on the sidelines 2 weeks should certainly help him with that. Outside of that, I haven't looked at the injury reports as of today, but I think both teams are relatively healthy. Is there somebody that I'm overlooking or missing here?
Well, I was wondering if Tooney is going to be able to go at all with given the extra time off, obviously a key part of the line for Kansas City as being the key injury.
I'm not sure about his availability.
He's got a pec. I think he tore his pec muscle. And so, I mean, how difficult would that be, Chad, for an offensive lineman to try to get in there and mix it up with some of the big guys?
Now, I mean, it's a Super Bowl. And players are willing to do whatever they can to get themselves on the field any way that they can. So a injection would be possible, but if you've got a torn pec as an offensive lineman where you're literally asking that guy to go out and hold 300-pound men, that seems like a difficult ask to take with a torn pec. I'm seeing a bunch of guys questionable. Chris Jones is listed as questionable. Pacheco is listed as questionable. I'm sure all those guys will play. For the 49ers, Kittle, Armstead, questionable. I'm looking to see those guys play as well. So I guess Tooney would be the biggest question mark in this ball game. You mentioned who's out with the ACL. So that would be probably the most impactful injury if he can either play or not play.
Chad, I'm looking for an edge because we got two similar schemes from the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs offensively. I think you're the perfect person to help me find that edge because it might be Kyle Juszczyk, right? Because they have a true fullback, meaning the 49ers, whereas the Chiefs, they don't have a true fullback. When it comes to, you know, you talked about trap, you talked about gap plays, you talked about, I want to mention ISO, like one-on-one ISOs with Kyle Juszczyk. I mean, How different will that be for Kansas City facing that type of fullback? And then on the other side, they don't have to worry about that from the 49ers defense.
Well, number one, Kyle Shanahan is a genius at having various insertion points. And I know that sounds like a sexual term.
Easy, Chad. Easy.
It's a family program.
I know we're in Vegas, but man.
But what I mean by that, Pritch, to answer your question, is he is able to insert either Kyle Juszczyk or George Kittle in various places that makes it very difficult for those second level defenders, linebackers and safeties, to know who's responsible for what gap, what shoulder should I hit this fullback or tight end with to make sure that my teammate can then make the tackle. So Kyle's really good at that, and he's constantly changing that up. So the offensive line is pretty good for the Niners. Obviously, Trent Williams is one of the best in the game. But I think the real skill that comes into that 49ers run game, which has a bit of a boom or bust aspect to it, it's not always going to be 5 yards a carry, but Christian McCaffrey is going to break a 30 or 40 yarder at some point during the game if they're able to stick with it, is because of those very odd insertion points. You're typically thinking when you talk, you mentioned ISO, Fritch. ISO is a fullback coming down in the A gap. Well, no, Kyle will do it different. He'll bend Juszczyk around to the B gap. He'll have George Kittle come in motion, and he'll be the insertion point in the A gap. And then Juszczyk will be kicking the end guy on the line of scrimmage out. So because of that tricky play design, I think it makes life more difficult for that Chiefs defense. And the fact that they actually have a true fullback who is, you know, that he knows that's his job, is to take on linebackers and safety on the second level, that makes the run game a bit more difficult to deal with. But at the same time, Kansas City, at various points late in the season and particularly in the postseason, they have decided just to go bully ball and put Pacheco in. And there's not a lot of trickeration to it. They are just coming downhill and trying to run you over. And at the end of a long season, a season that is now longer than it ever was when you and I played, Pritch, The ability for defenses to want to get physical against an offense that has made a dedicated effort to run the ball downhill on them, that's hard to do after you've played this much football and your body's got this much wear and tear on it.
Yeah, not a whole lot of teams that are playing with fullbacks in the NFL and in 2024. Chad, we got about 30 seconds left. Who do you ultimately think wins the game?
Wow. You know, there's something to be said for getting hot. I did not think that the Chiefs would be able to flip the switch at the end of the postseason for the playoffs. They've been able to do that. The Niners have been a bit uneven throughout. So I just think this championship pedigree, 6 AFC championship games, gives the Chiefs an edge in this one. So I got the Chiefs winning this one in a close ball game.
Right, it's going with the Kansas City Chiefs right now, who are plus money on the money line, around that plus 105, plus 110 range, depending where you do your shopping. He is Chad Brown, NFL analyst, former NFL All-Pro, 3-time Pro Bowler over at ESPN Radio. Chad, we appreciate the analysis all season long. Man, be well.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Right. Awesome stuff there from Chad Brown. Are we going to find anyone who likes the Niners to win this game? Mike Palm, you going to be that person? We'll discuss it next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter, it's Mr. Dogger Pass, Dave Tooley, with his thoughts on the Super Bowl between the 49ers and Kansas City Chiefs. You get all of his analysis when you check out the VSiN Newsletter. Get more expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight into your inbox, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Always something fresh in there. So we appreciate Dave. It says it right there in the newsletter. Dave, Mr. Dogger Pass Tooley, coming off of the 2-0 championship Sunday with the Dogs being able to cash that Lions one. You know, was that a front door cover for the Lions or back door? I guess it's always back door if it's the Dog, but they were covering the whole game outside of like, what, 3 minutes?
That was a back door, though.
Yeah, I guess so, technically.
Why did you take the field goal at the end?
We don't need to relitigate it. You know, because now, yeah, it's. I thought he was going to kick it, but he didn't want to kick.
I know you had 6.5.
We did lay 6.
Yeah, 6.5, 7, lace, 7 lace, and a half, 9.5, 10.5, 13.5, 14.5, 16.5, 17.
Yeah. Oh.
Half.
He had them all.
He had them all. 14.5 is my cutoff. That's where the model told me to stop.
Plus, what did you get that number?
Plus 250.
Yeah. The model.
At least.
Femi.
I mean, I don't want to reveal anything, but you were pretty cordial on the text message.
Yes, very cordial.
Oh, yes.
The guy was like relentless. First half, here comes Jameson Williams in and out. He said, oh, every which way?
Every which way.
I'm getting texts per drive. I'm like, I don't even need to watch the game. I'm getting push notifications.
You came down to watch the second half.
It turned the tide. You opened the door, and I'm sure hospitality was off the charts, right?
It was.
Had a couple Coronas, you know.
Okay. We had a little flatbreads. Yep. We were
nice. I got to experience. I mean, it was like Niners Empire here at Circa last Sunday. I mean, the Jahmyr Gibson, well, this place erupted.
Mm. Well, but everybody that were Lions fans were at the game.
or they were at Barkan at the D, though, because we were doing live videos. Sunday.
It was awesome because
we watched the first half there at the D, and everybody was just going absolutely insane with each Lions drive. Like, I was like, man, this is really going to happen for them. So I'm glad I wasn't there for the second half, because I don't think I would want to see like the come down from the high of the first half like that. Must have been quite the scene there, but nonetheless. But that's how things went in the Conference Championship Sunday. Let's continue, though, to discuss
Please, ask Pritch. What was the most disappointing loss of your career? Heartbreaking loss of your career?
Oh, that's easy. My last year up in Seattle, we were in the playoffs. We won a division, and we played Dan Marino in his final year. And this was in the Kingdom.
Yep.
That place was so loud. I mean, I couldn't even hear you speak right now. Nick's this close to me. Yeah. And we were up 20. No, excuse me. I forgot what the score was. But we were up in the fourth quarter deep. Yeah. It was 3rd and 17. And they were deep in their own territory. All we got to do is make a play. And we're going on in the playoffs. And Marino hits Tony Martin on a deep dig route. The only route you could really hit, right? And then the rest is history, because he went down the field, a classic 2-minute drive. To win the game. And then they got blown out later on in the playoffs to Jacksonville.
I think it was Jacksonville was the next week, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe I'm looking at a Football Reference right now. The Dolphins lost 62-7.
Yeah.
to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that was the end of Dan Marino's career.
Yeah.
Last time we saw him.
Yeah. I mean, it was vintage Marino. But yeah, that one just gutted me.
Do you remember what the point spread was in that game? You guys
you
hosting?
Have
I have it right now.
We didn't look at point spreads back then, Femi.
I just want to make sure that I didn't catch a slip. No. You guys were laying 3.5.
We were laying 3.5, yeah.
Total was 39.
Yeah. What seed were you?
We won a division, so were we fourth? Or
that's a good question. Because Jacksonville had home field, correct? That year? I think they did.
I think so.
They ended up losing to Tennessee in the AFC title.
Right, because we played Tennessee and we felt good that we could beat Tennessee too, because that matchup was going to be favorable for us. But we lost to Marino. Got about 3rd and 17.
Let's look it up. I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now. Was it three seed Elliott?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Seahawks. Yeah. AFC West champion Seattle Seahawks back then, the 3 seed. So then that's when the 6 seed Miami went to play Jacksonville. They get blown out. Then Tennessee beats Peyton Manning in his first playoff game, 1916, at the old RCA Dome. Mm-hmm. And then it was Tennessee and Jacksonville for the AFC title.
You would have went to Indy the next week.
Indy?
We played because
eventually Tennessee got into the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But we played Manning his rookie year, the year before that, to 28 interception Peyton Manning. But we were tracking it, and we could have had a chance to either. Was Tennessee? We were seated ahead of Tennessee, right?
Yeah, Tennessee was the 4.
So we could have hosted the AFC Conference Championship game.
Yeah.
In the Kingdom.
Well, because it would have been Tennessee at Jacksonville would have been the second round. And if they beat them, then it would have been Tennessee at Seattle in the Kingdom.
Yeah.
That would have been insane, knowing what I know about that place. It's, and that happened to be the year when Tennessee had the Music City Miracle on that Saturday. So that was the day before you guys ultimately lost to the Miami Dolphins there. It was Tony Corrente was the official of that game. I'm looking at the box score to see what Pritch's numbers were in that game.
I think I had a catch.
One.
It is
my knee was shot. My knee was done.
Three receptions. Oh, I had three. You didn't give yourself enough credit. Yeah.
My knee was shot.
That was when you were trying to play through the...
Yeah, I was tore it all up. I think I had Stockton tore it all by that time.
You do what you can to try to get out there for your teammates, man.
Oh, yeah.
Kitna was 14 of 30 in that game. 162, one TD, two interceptions. But let's talk about Super Bowl 58, though. We have bettor's choice, some props, would you rathers. Who would you go with? And we'll start with the passers, Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes. Would you rather go Purdy over 245 and a half passing yards or Mahomes over 260 and a half? Both of them pay out minus 115.
Mahomes.
Yeah. That's an easy one for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'd go Purdy.
Do you think they're going to be behind?
Probably.
Is that why?
That's kind of the thought process for me. And also, the Chiefs just aren't this explosive passing attack. 260 and a half, that's a pretty sizable number there. Now, especially when you have the advantage of just being able to hand the ball off to Pacheco and you can pick up yardage that way.
Mm.
I don't know. Mm.
I feel like Patrick's going to have one of those games, though.
They're playing on a neutral, too.
Yeah.
You saw him last week in a hostile environment.
Last couple of weeks.
So,
that's true.
Okay.
Maybe it's hostile with the Niners.
All right, two to one, Mahomes.
All right, so we're going with Showbet on Mahomes, apparently. the next one, Brandon Ayuk over 63 and a half receiving yards or Rashee Rice over 68 and a half receiving yards.
Whew. Are we forced to stay with the Kansas Cities now, Bridge? I go with Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk over 63 and a half. Rice, I say that only because I think that he's the superior. Even though Rice has started to, has this come out year, yeah. I would go with Ayuk.
Rice has a back issue, I think, or he's got something where he's kind of limping after he gets hit. But the yards after the catch, that availability is there. Ayuk's more of an X receiver where, he's going to run the basic crosses. He's going to run deeper routes too. This is a tough one for me. Because I know Rice is that number one guy right now, but I can't bet on him
Kelsey's the number one.
Well, guy. Outside of, yeah.
Super Bowl MVP, Travis.
Sure. This one's a tough one because Rice is a flanker and Rice is a split end, right?
You have to make a decision. I know. It's an or.
I'll go Ayuk.
Or both.
I'll go Ayuk.
Or do you want
Ayuk?
Both?
No, I don't want both.
I don't want either.
You can technically bet both of them, by the way. We're just playing this game here that our producer Elliot put together. So you'll go Ayuk.
Yeah.
Because we all know Kelsey's going to get the majority of the Mahomes yards.
What are you going to do?
I'd go Ayuk as well.
Oh, wow. Sweep.
Yeah.
3-0.
So we go three. So we like Mahomes over. We like Ayuk over. How about the rushing yards? McCaffrey over 89 and a half rushing yards or Pacheco over 67 and a half rush yards?
Rich, you go first.
McCaffrey.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, I get outvoted. I would go Pacheco, but you guys went your way.
Is it a lower total?
Lower total, and I think the Niners run defense is barbecue chicken. Like, I think you can run the football on them. We saw Montgomery. We saw Gibbs do it. We saw Aaron Jones do it. We've seen a number of people do it down the stretch. I think it could be a big
You're going to run him wide? You're going to run Pacheco wide?
Wide, inside. We saw Montgomery was able to get some inside runs against that defense. Gibbs was having his way. And then they stopped running the football. The defenders, Nick Bosa over 0.25 sacks, versus Chris Jones over 0.25 sacks. Now, Bosa is minus 125. Jones is plus 120.
How many ways do they split sacks?
Only two. Half sacks. So it's pretty much over.
Only two. It's over 0.01 also, isn't it? They pick 0.25.
Well, if you put your arm in there,
can you have a third of a
sack?
Half
a sack.
Can you get a third?
No.
But all right, yeah, so it's a sack. Could be over 0.49.
I don't want to break people's brains. They're just going to make it.
But the quarter man, it's like that soccer with the quarter man. It's a 2.5. And
you put your arm in there.
I'm getting all confused by this. I'm gonna take Nick Bosa.
I'm going Chris Jones.
You like the plus price, though. That's what you.
Not only that.
No, not only that. That's where you start and finish.
Oh yeah, the matchup.
I'm going to go Chris Jones as well because he has more of a linear stretch because Moses has got to come from the out wide. And if the sod father's doing the sod, we don't know about those edge rusher guys. have we learned about that? Do we know who's doing the field? Is it our guy the sod father?
No, after that last year in Phoenix. There's something there that with those conditions, though, they can't get right at that stage.
I was going to say, if it's slick, maybe bet the over because there might be no pass.
You have to bet the over.
Yeah. We'll finish up these bettor's choice props as well as getting to some of the fun novelty props to wrap up the show coming up next. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58. With code VSIN, the crown is yours. I mean, the stuff that is said during the commercial breaks. It's very informative.
Stop me when I'm lying.
Very informative. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard. Our last chance to give our analysis in this particular show before games kick off here. And
hell of a season. Hey, you had a lot of fun. I want to thank the two of you.
It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
This is a great time.
It was,
who knows? I don't know if it's ending or what's down the road here, but the football season, though, was a good time. And I think there was a lot of viewers and listeners who enjoyed our Friday football
panel,
stuff as well.
Our Friday football panel.
Triple option. Hang it up in the rafters. Let's finish up Better's Choice, though, before we get to some of these fun props. George Kittle over 46.5 receiving yards versus Travis Kelce over 69.5 receiving yards, both of them minus 125.
Oh, we're back to that. I was going to go with the.
Oh, you had your fun props.
Well, you were weighing in on the Usher opener, weren't you? I saw a tweet by you on that.
I'll go Kelce. Yeah. Same here. We'll sweep the board with that one. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy over 1.5 passing TDs versus Mahomes over 1.5 passing TDs. Mahomes minus 150, Purdy minus 125.
That's a tough one. I'll go with Mahomes.
Me too.
All right. I would go
just
with Purdy.
I don't want to lay 150, but yeah, I'll go with Mahomes.
It's a big price to pay for Patrick Mahomes. So that is our bettor's choice. You guys like the Mahomes over 1.5. So obviously the national anthem is one of the fun things that people can bet on. Mm-hmm. The coin toss. Mm-hmm. How about that? Even money. That's a true even money. Whichever way you can bet on the coin toss just to sweat something out before kickoff. Gatorade colors. All that stuff. You mentioned the halftime show. Our old buddy Ben Fox was tweeting about it. Some of the odds that some of the domestics overseas or in other places.
What'd you say at 8-1 or
I
something?
I said OMG.
OMG. OMG was it 8-1
yep.
for
eight
the
to
opening
one.
Song? Because
the favorite was Yeah, which I mean, probably right. his most popular song.
Where's Confessions Part 6 or whatever? Part 2. That wasn't even on the list.
You can't open with that.
What if Chili's in the house?
Oh, good Lord.
ATL no, days. No, I'm trying yeah, to go back know, to your ATL I know, days. I know.
It all goes back to Atlanta.
It all goes back here.
It all goes back.
It does. All roads lead back to Atlanta. I don't think you can lead with that kind of a song. It's too slow.
I'm trying to get Chili into the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were.
But who else is going to be done. Involved in a halftime show?
Well, that's like, what we don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I would anticipate you bring somebody else.
They always do. They always try to get surprise. Right.
Lil Jon, doesn't he live here? Pretty much, he's always here.
No, he does live here.
Okay,
he's at every night's game. It seems.
I was like the guy's out everywhere.
Yeah,
Ludacris seems that he has like something at Cromwell every month. Mm-hmm. Like
really.
I've seen it a couple times.
He's a very good actor.
He is.
He's actually a very underrated actor.
Oh, really?
I think he's great.
The Fast and the Furious series, yeah. I think he knocks it out the park. Mm-hmm.
He had a recurring role on Law and Order Special Victims mm-hmm. Unit that was maybe, it concluded with maybe the best episode they ever had.
He's taking Ice-T path.
Ice T's very good, but he's pitching everything now. He's doing more ads than Ditka did in Chicago.
He really is. Was it car insurance now?
Ice T's NIL deals.
Sure. Laundry detergent. Car insurance. Selling soap.
Got to capitalize where you can there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that OMG would be my, if that market's available to you, that'd be what I would look at. We also have all the Taylor Swift markets, which I think is fun, just given the fact that this is Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift has been a big storyline throughout this NFL season. So over at DraftKings, they have a bunch of different bets named after Taylor Swift's songs. So you have 22, which is, I believe, a song or an album title for Taylor Swift. Any quarter to have 22 plus points scored in it. The yes, plus 400. Anti-Hero, which is a popular Swift song, is Brock Purdy, 250 plus pass yards and 2 plus passing touchdowns.
He's the anti-hero?
Because he's rooting for the Chiefs for Taylor Swift's boyfriend to win a Super Bowl.
That's interesting.
So it, they have like a bunch
cruel
of different
summer?
I don't know if they have a Cruel Summer one there. They do have a I Knew You Were Trouble, which is McCaffrey, 150 plus rushing and receiving yards. That pays out plus 160. And then you have the Look What You Made Me Do. This one's interesting.
Look what you made me do. Chiefs to trail in the fourth quarter, but still win the game. That plays out 5-1.
Creative.
Yeah, it's
very creative.
Yeah.
I think it's a kudos to our friends at DraftKings for doing that stuff. It got you thinking, huh?
Will they be trailing?
That's a good question.
Right? Yeah.
Will they be trailing?
They have to be trailing, but then
that's
also
not
a bad. Win.
That's not awful.
No.
Well, they did it the last time, right?
Yeah, trail in the
trailing,
fourth quarter.
Then anti-hero comes into play, right?
Anti-hero does come into play a little bit there if they're trailing and Purdy had a big game in the first three quarters. But, I mean, like you said, the last Super Bowl, 5-1, they would have cashed. Trailed in the fourth quarter, but still win the football
game. That was a horrible result.
that Super Bowl in particular?
Oh, God. For us, it was.
How about shake it off? 49ers to score first, Chiefs to win +350. Get the gears turning a little bit, huh? The script is always good from Kyle.
Was it in Mariah Carey? Or does that shake you off?
Shake it off.
It's like a Calgon commercial. Really got to get up out of here. We're almost done. The last.
Now, hold on. Go over Shake It Off again.
Shake It Off.
No, because he said 49ers score first.
49ers score first. Chiefs win the game. +350.
Can
the Chiefs come back?
It's just score first. I mean, if you kick a field goal, Chiefs win the game, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
That's also tied into that anti-hero one. Mm-hmm. Or the other, what's the one where they're trailing in the fourth quarter and come back? Look what you made me do.
Okay. And then there's a wildest dream, Travis Kelce to score the first and last touchdown, 25-1.
What's he MVP, to score the first touchdown? To score the first touchdown? That seems very short. 25-1.
Yeah.
That's missing a zero, Femi. Are you sure you got the whole column? Expand to the right. Expand column width.
Scroll over. I got the whole thing. You belong with Travis Kelce or Rashee Rice to score a TD in the first half. And then you need to calm down, which I'm assuming is another Taylor Swift song.
Lover. Do they have a lover prop?
I think they do have one. Actually.
Right. It's a good song. Lovers.
They have Love Story.
That's also one of her
Love Story.
Yeah.
Chiefs to win. Mahomes and Kelce to combine for all Chiefs touchdowns.
What's
20-1?
What's Chiefs to win and Kelsey's MVP? Is that they should have that one for her, right?
We call that the Femi.
That's a new song that we don't know about.
It's a new title.
Every which way. That's the every which way. Every which way a Benefe.
Yep.
That's forever now. That's in betting jargon.
Taylor Swift's new number one single. Every which way.
Could be.
It could be.
Which way but loose.
How you get the girl is Travis Kelce to score a TD in each half.
How many songs does the girl have for real?
Hundreds.
She got bangers, apparently.
I just scrolled through the page. Wow. How many songs?
Okay.
She's a hard worker.
She is a hard worker. I don't dabble in that music. I've heard of some
She's
of
like
them.
10-time platinum or something.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Is she good? She seems to be okay.
I know that she used to sing country and she switched to pop, right?
That is true.
They're okay.
Yeah. Gold Rush, Niners to score 40 plus points. That's the every which way one, +750 for that price. So if you want to dabble into deja vu, Kansas City Chiefs win by exactly 11 points.
Let's get our picks in here.
Let's do it. 2 minutes.
So that people will know.
Gatorade picks. We'll start with that.
Go ahead.
I mean, I'm leaning Chiefs already. I said that.
What's the final score, Pritch?
You know, I don't know if it's a shootout. I know a lot of people have suggested that already. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning even suggested there's going to be a lot of points in this game. It feels like the Chiefs, they want to play a cage match to me and get into the fourth quarter and apply pressure to San Francisco. Yeah. But no, I think score in a range of 24-21. I like Chiefs. That score. Chiefs.
I've got 24-23 Chiefs.
Ooh, okay.
Score. I'll go 24-20 Chiefs.
Okay.
So it sounds like we lean a little under.
Yep.
And Chiefs.
Yeah. But that's how the Chiefs have played.
Mm-hmm.
Their games have kind of gone under. They've kind of grinded to a halt. The second half under is 18-1 or something like that?
17-1 or 18-1. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Fourth quarter unders where you can find that is like 15-3 or something in that same run.
I wonder what's going to happen with the second half markets on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just going to jam it. And I think that's honestly, that could be a betting angle for people is that I'm not going to bet the under pregame. Yeah. I'm going to wait to see the scripts. Maybe we see a couple almost similar to the AFC title game where we saw those three TD drives and then the game settles down and you get you bet under 49.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you're getting a better number like that, maybe you're getting under 50 something
right.
in this game.
By halftime, it was like, I have a huge favorite, right?
Exactly. Yeah, like, I mean, by halftime, we went yep. back to the uh-huh. pre-flop total. Yep. And then once the first few drives, then we're all of a sudden now in like the 37s and ultimately only had 27 points scored on the board. So we all like the Chiefs. Chad Brown liked the Chiefs. Solomon Wilcott's liked the Chiefs.
What could go wrong?
Our goal, Super Bowl week, is to find someone who likes the Niners.
Right.
Outside of Stormy.
Find a lot of people. Yeah. Find a lot of people. Even this thing out.
We do need that. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. For Mike Pritchard, for Mike Palm, for our producer Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew behind the glass, I'm Femi Abebefe saying good luck with all the bets, and we will see you guys on the other side.